Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow believers in Jesus Christ, we like things that are very clear, concise, very simple and easy for us to understand. You know, maybe you've been in that situation where you asked a teacher or professor a question, and they give you this very long, drawn-out answer, and you raise your hand and ask them, could you take everything that you said and just put it into one sentence for me? Or maybe you don't have someone to ask the question, but nowadays we can easily go on Google and find that simple answer we're looking for. Or even before Google ever existed, there used to be a popular book series called For Dummies, such as Microsoft Word for Dummies, Cooking for Dummies. And the whole point of these books was to take complex things and make them very simple for us to understand. But now let's suppose that you had just a few minutes to summarize Christianity, to make it very simple for someone to understand. That means you got to summarize 66 books, almost 1,200 chapters, over 30,000 verses into a simple truth. Do you know what you would say? Well, it's for this reason that John 3:16 has become the most popular passage of the Bible. It really is a summary of Christianity. And it's for this reason that John 3:16 has been called the gospel in a nutshell. And you know how popular John 3:16 is in our culture. You go to a sporting event or you watch it on TV, you might see a person holding up a sign that says John 3:16. Maybe you're driving on the road and you see John 3:16 as a bumper sticker on someone's car. But do you know the context behind this most popular passage? It's something that a lot of people don't necessarily think about. So what is the context? Well, one night, a Pharisee named Nicodemus came to Jesus. And normally when you think of the Pharisees, you think about how they were the enemies of Christ. They fought against his teaching, and they plotted to kill him. But not so with Nicodemus. For this Pharisee was intrigued by Jesus. He said, "We know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." And so Jesus has a conversation with Nicodemus. And during this conversation, he says that no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born again. But Nicodemus did not understand what Jesus meant. He said to Jesus, "How is it possible for a man to re-enter his mother's womb?" And so Jesus went on to explain what he meant. He was not talking about physical birth, but spiritual birth. To be born of the Spirit, to be born of the water. But once again, Nicodemus still did not understand what Jesus was saying. And at this point, Jesus basically gets frustrated with him. And he says, "You are Israel's teacher. And do you not understand these things?" So in order to help Nicodemus understand what he was talking about, Jesus made it very simple for him to understand. He brings up the story of Moses and the Israelites in the desert, which as a Pharisee, Nicodemus would have easily known that story. And he said, "Just as that snake was lifted up in the desert, so also the Son of Man must also be lifted up as well, that everyone who looks at him will be saved." And now here is where we get the most popular passage of the Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Here is the gospel, the main message of the Bible in a nutshell. And it's probably a passage that you know very well. But even though this is the gospel in a nutshell, let's break open that nutshell and see what's really inside of it. First, let's take a look at the subject of this passage. It's God. And what could we all say about our Lord? There certainly is no end to what we can say about God. He is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, which means he is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. God is everywhere. There is nowhere in creation that you can go where God is not there. And he is all-knowing. He knows everything that is happening in this world right now at this very second. And he knows everything that will happen to this world in the future. And the very fact that the world is even here is proof of God's almighty power. For he created everything that exists simply by using his word. And he continues to use his power to control and to sustain his creation. But we know what happened to God's perfect world. It fell into sin when Adam and Eve were tempted by Satan. And here's the other thing we have to remember about our God. He is also perfect, holy, and just. Which means God had every right to condemn and destroy what he had created. But notice what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world. He so loved his creation. But nowadays, the word love has kind of lost its meaning. We love to use the word love. We can say we love our spouse, we love our parents, we love a particular sports team, or we love a certain type of food. The word love has kind of lost its meaning. But the Greek word that is used here is a special word for love. It's agape. Now, what's so special about agape love? Agape love is love that is completely self-sacrificing. It's a love that is completely and totally unselfish. It's not a type of love that someone has earned or deserved. It's love that is freely given. And who is the object of God's love? God so loved the world. Notice John 3:16 does not say God so loved the decent people of this world. It does not say that God so loved those who would believe in him. He loved the world. Every single person in the world. Which means he so loved those that we consider notorious throughout history. People like Emperor Nero, who persecuted and killed Christians. Or people like Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin, who massacred millions of people. God so loved them. He also so loved people that we don't think are worthy of love, such as the murderer on death row, a rapist, drug dealer, you name it. But God so loved them, and he so loved you and me as well. But we might think that compared to all the other people we just heard about, can't be all that hard for God to love us, right? What's not to love about us? Did we ever deserve God's love? Do we still now deserve God's love? We never did, and we still don't. especially when you think about how we can act even as Christians. Remember the words we heard earlier this morning. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Those who do evil hate the light. And so when you hear these words, do you think about how they apply to you? Do you love to rush into the light? Or do you rejoice to stay in darkness? Would you like it if everything that you do was clearly seen and exposed to everyone? None of us would want that. Hence the reason that a lot of our sins that we commit are done in darkness. They are done in secrecy. I mean, we can wait until it's physically dark outside before we sin in our actions because we think no one would ever catch us. Or even if we are in the broad daylight with people, we can take a quick look around to see who's all with us before we start gossiping about someone, using language that's offensive, or telling jokes that are coarse and obscene. And foolishly, we can think that our secrets or our thoughts are done in secret, and they don't harm anyone. But even if your thoughts were clearly portrayed in the light for everyone to see, would you still think that they are harmless? Or would you be ashamed of them? And the truth is, God is all-knowing. He knows the secrets of your thoughts and what you do. He is all-present. You cannot hide from Him. He sees what you do. And as our all-powerful God, He deserves to condemn us for what we do. We do not deserve His love. We only deserve His condemnation. But notice that John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son." And why did He send His Son? God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. When Jesus returns a second time, He will come with all His glory and justice. He will condemn people. He will judge the world. But the first time that God sent His Son was to save the world through Him. And the way He saved the world was that the Son of God also became the Son of Man. For He became one like us. He was tempted just as we are, and He suffered and died for us. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus, that just as the snake was lifted up, so also the Son of Man must be lifted up. And so He was. He was lifted up on the cross on Calvary. And there, the eternal condemnation of God for our sins, for everything we even did in secret, was placed on Christ. And this was clearly seen and evident to all the people there that day. For the sky became dark, and Christ cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But He was forsaken for our salvation. And since the perfect Son of God died for every sin of mankind, that means the world has been saved through Him. But now, how does that salvation become ours? And that's the very last thing that John 3:16 brings out. "For whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Through faith, we receive eternal life. This is the gospel truth. But there is still a part of us that can be worried. We may be worried if our faith is strong enough to receive God's salvation. We might worry if we have truly brought ourselves to faith in Christ and if our faith is genuine and true. But we don't have to be afraid of these things. For the faith that you have is a gift from God. Through the Word, the Holy Spirit has created faith in your heart. Your faith is true. Your faith is genuine. And it does not matter how strong our faith is, because faith saves us. It saves us because our faith is in Christ Jesus, who not only died for our sins, but also promised to us, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Eternal life is yours. You have been saved through Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It is no wonder why John 3:16 is such a popular passage, because it's very simple. And it's a simple passage that you get to share with others. For in this passage, you tell them who their God is, how much he loved them, how he sent his Son to be our Savior from sin, and how through faith we have eternal life. And that is the gospel in a nutshell. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Nicene Creed, which you will find on page 31 in front of your hymnal. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God, from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The congregation may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register, which you will find at the end of your pew, and you may also register for communion there as well.